As schools try to open during the pandemic, they're also opening during a race moment in America. How will they handle that? We recently spoke with Zakiya Jarrett, a Black sixth grade teacher in Milton, Massachusetts, who was temporarily removed because of remarks she made about police violence in the killing of George Floyd. After an uproar over her removal, the school district pledged to consider an anti-racism curriculum. Some schools already have one in place. Some are trying and finding it hard. The Miami-Dade School Board is in the middle of a fierce debate, as we'll hear. But first, last year in a largely white school district in Charlottesville, Virginia, school board members passed an anti-racism program called Reframing the Narrative. John Hobson is the project leader. John, we know this is for social studies classes in middle and high schools in Albemarle County. Students encouraged to ask questions, interrogate power. Tell us more.
So, for instance, we've been working on a lesson related to George Floyd and talking about the power of names. Say his name, George Floyd, and connecting that to free people wanting to change their names after the Reconstruction period.
Oh, so taking it back through history to point out how important it is to say someone's name when a name was so hard fought for.
That's right. And so what saying your name does is it humanizes people, you know, it affirms their humanity. But really, to humanize the individuals in history or in the present moment that we want students to examine, so that history is not seen as something as inert or in the past, but it's very much affecting our present moment.
Well, so you have six districts in the state, program with about 80 social studies teachers. You are white. Have you had the same kind of collision that it sounds like Milton, Massachusetts saw, which was an African-American teacher feeling perfectly comfortable addressing a subject that many of the white supervisors were not?
Yeah, I think I certainly have to acknowledge my privilege and certainly my responsibility in my position right now to speak up for voices that sometimes get marginalized or pushed to the side. In many cases, people like me have not been out front and have not been good allies. So I think it's important in this time to certainly step forward.
But what kind of feedback do you get from students, white students or Black students?
Ultimately, the feedback has been very powerful. I think a lot of students have been really upset with us in the past when they, you know, discover, for instance, that Thomas Jefferson was a slave owner, which, believe it or not, you know, people in Albemarle County, you know, where Thomas Jefferson's home, Monticello, is, that fact has been concealed in many cases. Now, Monticello is doing a great job of telling that story now, but I think there's been years and years of kind of telling a narrative that sort of conceals that history. And so I think similarly, students really get frustrated and angry with their teachers when they feel like something's being hidden from them. And so the students are really pushing us. And in fact, the anti-racism policy that was developed by students.
And how do you deal with discomfort? You know, it's maybe a necessary byproduct of some of these lessons, but it's one thing to be a little uncomfortable. It's another thing to have shame. Feel blame. You know, we've heard these different things from young people, that young Black students sometimes are uncomfortable around this because they don't want to be seen as victims, or white students don't want to be blamed for something they may have had nothing to do with. We asked Zakiya Jarrett about that. She tried to make sure they saw it wasn't their fault. How do you address that discomfort if it comes up?
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, there are a lot of good resources out there that help us and our teachers do this, in particular, Facing History in Ourselves, which is an organization we've done a lot of professional learning with, that have kind of guides and a process you might go through before having a difficult conversation. And it involves really, one, just looking inward at yourself and sort of considering, you know, the kind of feelings that you have and the, you know, potential biases that you have. And then secondly, considering your students, you know, who are these students in front of you and what potential feelings might they bring? And I think it's important that students are given the space to kind of construct their own knowledge and understanding. And so giving them resources to help them understand is really powerful. And then giving them outlets for sort of wanting to do something with this information. It's transferring something they just learned, you know, whether that's, you know, the murder of George Floyd or any other topic, and thinking about, okay, what are the lessons that are drawn from that? You know, maybe it's something about the history of police violence. To think about, okay, what can I do with that information? But I think that's really the goal of social studies. It's not for them just to become receptacles of facts, but really to sort of understand their past so that they can act in their present moment.
John Hobson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So that's being heralded as a successful anti-racism policy. Let's go now to Miami, where last month the board of the Miami-Dade County Public Schools voted 8-1 in favor of introducing an anti-racism curriculum and ran right into opposition. Jessica Bakeman has been covering this for WLRN in South Florida. Jessica, this is one of the country's largest school districts, 72% Hispanic, about 20% Black, 7% white. Describe the suggested curriculum.
Right. So we don't know exactly what the curriculum will look like yet. Basically, what the school board has done is direct the superintendent to do a review of the existing curriculum dealing with racism and multiculturalism, and then also develop or enhance curriculum dealing specifically with anti-racism, and also empower a student task force to discuss this issue and report quarterly back to the school board. So on August 12th, the superintendent will bring that report to the school board, and they can figure out going forward what exactly that anti-racism curriculum will look like.
Yeah. Well, as we said, board members voted 8-1 approving that plan and got some support, but a lot of opposition. From whom? What were people saying?
Well, this discussion took place at a couple of virtual school board meetings, but hundreds of people wrote emails and flooded the school board staff with phone calls. Unfortunately, there was this misinformation campaign. It said that the proposal would require the school district to adopt a curriculum developed by Black Lives Matter activists, which is not the case. And it also said that the curriculum would require teaching about homosexuality and transgender issues, which again is not true. And then there were some comments like, because of the election of President Barack Obama and the fact that there are wealthy Black celebrities like Oprah Winfrey and LeBron James, that was proof that somehow racism no longer exists.
Mm. Well, as we said, only one member of the board voted against the plan. Her name is Marta Perez. She's Cuban American. She said the plan will be a distraction from COVID-19. Here's a clip of her speaking during a virtual committee meeting in June.
In my opinion, this school district is a shining example throughout the years of inclusion in all matters, including race, ethnicity, disabilities, etc. If there has ever been a wrong, we have stepped up and corrected it very quickly.
Jessica, give us context for that.
That was her response during the initial discussion about this proposal for an anti-racism curriculum. The plan was sponsored by her colleague, Dorothy Bendross Mindengal, another school board member who is Black and herself was actually a victim of the school district's racism in the past. Back in 1947, when she was just a little girl, the school board and the city of Miami evicted her family and 34 other Black families from their homes and took their land by eminent domain in order to make way for an all-white school. So that comment that Dr. Perez said, saying that, you know, any injustices that have happened have been quickly corrected, she basically made that right to a person who herself was a victim of these injustices.
That's an incredible story. And Dr. Dorothy Bendross Mindengal referenced that personal story in responding to Perez at that June meeting. Let's listen to that.
I'm the little girl who was put out of my house at 3 years old in the rain so that they could build a school. How dare you? It didn't stop there.
Wait, Jessica, this is, as we said, it's hard, and this sounds very hard. You also heard from teachers, some who believe the school district isn't doing enough to educate staff. Talk about that.
Yes. So I spoke with Kaylin Lee. She was the rookie teacher of the year for the school district in 2020. She's a Black English teacher at a high school that Trayvon Martin actually attended at one point. She and some other people are saying that they want to see, you know, more leadership from the school board to foster a culture of anti-racism, starting by really listening to Black teachers, parents, and students about their experiences.
Yeah. So, Jessica, we're seeing in this debate over an anti-racism curriculum a deeper sense of the city's race relations. Talk about that.
Sure. So Miami-Dade County is very diverse. And because of that, many people in Miami believe that the city is somehow above racism or beyond racism. I spoke to a Cuban-American history professor at Florida International University in Miami, and he put it like this: there's a lot of denial of anti-Black prejudice in Hispanic and Latino communities in South Florida. And there are historical and current examples of white or white-passing Hispanic or Latino people enjoying privilege and political power that Black communities there don't have access to.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like even just the suggestion of an anti-racism curriculum is sparking a deeper conversation about that. But what is the situation now? I mean, where do we leave this plan to have that curriculum?
Well, the superintendent is going to report back to the school board on August 12th. And I know that the district, since the passage of this item, has already taken some action in terms of the virtual summer school that's been going on this summer, incorporating discussions with students about the death of George Floyd. And also they've had some professional development with teachers this summer about racism and anti-racism in the classroom.
Jessica Bakeman with WLRN in South Florida, taking a deep look at a plan in Miami-Dade County to institute an anti-racism curriculum. We'll follow this story with you, Jessica. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.